Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Tom McBride, Cressa, Marcos Association for Enterprise Growth, and Lisa Greenwald, Greenwald & Associates. We have a great lineup of guests on our show today. Mark, would you please give us the rundown?
Yes, today we have Eric Kofoot, President and CEO of Public Relay; Mark Wallace, CEO and co-founder of Radius Networks; Mark Menick, President and COO of KLNB, and Peter Sobich, President of Management Strategies.
Let's get to know our first guest, Eric Kofoot, President and CEO of Public Relay. Eric, what is Public Relay? What are you guys doing?
We monitor the media for big brands, so what's being said about them on media.
Interesting. So you're helping companies understand what's being said about them on the web. How large or how small is this organization?
We're about 60 people now.
About 60 people. And how'd you get a job with this company?
I co-founded it about 10 years ago.
Interesting. And where are you from originally?
Chicago.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother.
How much older is your brother?
Just like 2 years.
All right. And you told us earlier in the green room, when we were talking and trying to get to know you, that something happened at about 5 years old. What was that?
Well, unfortunately, my mother died of cancer when I was 5 years old.
Ooh, okay. So your mom passed when you were five. How did that affect you? What did that do to you?
I think when something like that happens to you, you lose control, and so you try then to control things yourself as best you can in your environment.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? Give me some examples.
Just a few years after that happened, on the playground, I was organizing friends and trying to create a good environment in the playground, and almost like a gang in the good sense of the word.
So you were pulling, as opposed to separating from society because something rotten happened, you started pulling friends around you in the neighborhood to build your own little group of friends, to build your own family.
Absolutely. I think that's a big thing is connecting with people and pulling together when things go wrong.
Uh-huh. How's that affecting your role in this company, the 60-people company?
I think there's a lot of parallels, actually. Attracting really good talent, engaging good talent, getting them working together as a team, minimizing, eliminating politics, and giving them the opportunity to do great things.
Oh, boy, there's a lot there. Tom, what are you thinking?
You and your brother, when your mother passed away, you and your brother were thrown sort of into this new environment. Your dad worked?
Yeah, my dad worked full-time.
And so was he out the door early?
Out the door early and out home late.
And then so you and your brother, what were you guys up to? You guys were going to school. How are you getting there? You weren't being driven by your dad, right?
We were latchkey kids in the sense, and we didn't even lock the door back in those days during the day. But, we took the train to school every day, public transportation in the city every day.
And so all of a sudden you're growing up fast, right?
Oh, yeah.
And how does that... If you're looking back on it now, how does that impact you now in terms of how you got to where you are?
Being thrown into the big bad world at a young age, you learn not to be as afraid of it as perhaps a lot of people are. You learn to be bold. You learn to take chances. You learn to trust the environment around you and be savvy. You have to be aware of what's around you. But you lose a lot of fear because you have to overcome it at such an early age.
That's the positive side of it. How did your dad react?
Well, he's a really demanding guy. Well, he passed away a couple of years ago, but always was a very, very demanding guy. He was a chemical engineer, but he had exacting standards to how we had to work hard in school and work hard at home and do our chores, and there was no give at all on that.
And so tell me about your leadership style. Obviously, I can see you now. You're not a relentless taskmaster. You seem like a warm guy.
Well, there's always a balance. There's a human side in there, and I probably got that side from my mother. She was actually a minister, a Methodist minister. And my dad was a hard-charging type, so sort of yin-yang there. And I think as a leader, you have to do that. You have to be both empathetic with people, but also expect excellence, not just from them, but also from yourself.
Lisa?
So tell me, what would your mom think now?
Well, I'd like to think that she sees me as a good-hearted person. You know, I care deeply about our team and our employees. It's something I think that makes a big difference in the marketplace when you're trying to build a great company and take care of customers.
I was actually surprised with your answer. When Lisa asked you, what would your mom think now, I thought you were going to tell her she's proud because you've built a successful business, but that's not what your answer was.
Yeah, I don't think she thought in terms of business. She always thought in terms of people, at least what I remember of her and what people have told me of her.
What did your mom do for a living?
She was a Methodist minister.
What do you bring from being a Methodist minister to work every day?
I would hope empathy to start with, feeling for the human condition.
Wait a minute. It says here that you are the president and CEO of Public Relay. You're the CEO of this company, and you're telling me you're bringing empathy to work every day?
I think if you don't, you're not going to be successful. I think that someone asked me a little while back on what's my best skill as a CEO, and I'm thinking, oh, I know finance, I know sales, I know all this. But the reality is what I think I'm good at is working with people, attracting really good people to the company, engaging them, trusting them, and keeping them there. And that requires empathy. You got to care about them.
When you were a kid and pulling after your mom passed and you were sort of pulling other kids in the neighborhood around you, did you understand who these kids were and where they fit in the team and what you could do with each one of them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being an organizer my whole life, it's just how it was. Even in Boy Scouts, I was that way.
What do you mean? What do you mean in Boy Scouts you were that way?
Well, we had a pretty active scout organization in our city, and our troop was very, very, very competitive in events, whether it's orienteering or pioneering and the things that Boy Scouts do.
Yeah.
And we won probably about 80% of the citywide contest year after year after
How
year.
How come? Why?
Preparation, teamwork. Same kind of stuff you do in a business.
So you not only understand how to organize people, you understand how to read people.
I'm always learning. I would not say I'm perfect. I think that leadership is an art, it's not a science. And you're always, if you're not willing to listen and learn, you're not going to be successful.
Wow, what a profound comment. Mark.
What's the characteristic of your best friend growing up? What made them your best friend?
You know, I think that we all try to look for best friends. At least what I found was someone who was loyal and who had your back, had my back. And we obviously shared humor. And you have to share values, too, your fundamental values. Of I like to think being a good person is at the top of that list. It really saddens me when I see people being angry or hateful because it just doesn't get you anywhere in life.
Mm. Is that an attribute you appreciate in your employees?
Absolutely. It's a must-have. If There's a book out there, The No A-Hole Rule, and I believe in that. You have to have great, good, kind people to start with, and then you can build a business.
You had co-founders starting this business?
I did, yeah.
How many co-founders were
there? I had one other co-founder.
And what did you guys do different from each other?
It was a lot of different skill sets. He was much more just deeply, deeply analytical, and although I have those skills, my talent was building the team and building the macro, how we attract that talent, how we build the pieces that make a great organization.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you were the one who was building the team. Tom, what else are you thinking?
What's a good example that you can remember as a kid of the learning this value of preparation and follow through? I mean, those are skills that sort of compound with one another, right?
Yeah. Look, I as a Boy Scout, and some people love the program, some people don't. Done right, it's a fantastic program because be prepared is true. And you learn the hard way. You go camping when you're young and you're really, really cold and wet because you didn't bring a change of socks and didn't bring an extra jacket. You learn to be prepared. And that applies in business. You've got to plan ahead.
And talk to me about your relationship with your brother. Your father was working his tail off. Your brother, I assume, was looking after you.
No, not
not at all. Were you looking after him?
No, we fought.
You fought?
Yeah, we fought. But his brother's fight, you know. We could not be more different in life. I can't explain it enough, but just different human beings.
And so trial and error early on through Boy Scouts learning what was working, what was not?
Trial and error, but also the willingness to learn from other people. You don't have to make all the mistakes yourself. You got to listen and learn, and I certainly try to learn from not just fellow CEOs in the industry here, but also Mark. Just from employees.
Mark?
What was a sort of a major book or event or person that really significantly influenced you growing up?
Probably the most influential mentor, if you will, was my high school physics, AP physics teacher. He taught for 4 years, so freshman through senior year, you had the same teacher. And he was always saying there's always room at the top. And whether he was talking about going to a great college or just in life, and it's always been in the back of my mind, whenever I see a challenge, I'm like, if we excel, the waters will part, the sea will part, and there'll be room for us at the top.
Huh. So you have confidence that there's room at the top.
Absolutely.
Isn't that frightening? Actually, I was going to ask you, isn't that frightening? But earlier you spoke about with Mom's passing, a lot of your fear went away, didn't it?
Absolutely. You never say you're fearless, but the reality is the more you've taken on life's challenges and overcome them, you begin to develop a confidence that even if you don't know the answer, you believe in yourself and you believe in the team that you'll figure it out. And that's the important thing. That's optimism to me, is not that the life's all peachy and roses, but that you'll figure it out and make it work out okay.
And that confidence came from the fact that you got forced into, because of Mom's passing, you got forced to grow up quickly, and as opposed to becoming a victim, if it didn't kill you, it made you stronger. You really learned confidence from that whole.
There's no question about that. No question.
About what?
Well, you know, if you're forced into something, you've got to deal with it. And I think that's a life lesson. And there's a lot of a culture of whiners that you hear out there occasionally. Not everybody, but some people. And I think that we as leaders in our community or as parents need to, you know, tell our kids, tell our employees, encourage them. Hey, go for it. Take a chance. It'll be okay. I got your back.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this organization?
PublicRelay.com.
PublicRelay.com. We've been speaking with Eric Kofoot, President and CEO of Public Relay, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, and we will be back in a moment right after this break. What a hell of an interview. And your name and organization is?
Wumi Bamadero, Silverline Communications.
And what's your role in the organization?
I'm the Vice President of the Tech Practice.
The Vice President of the Tech Practice. And what do you guys do?
We service B2B and tech clients to help them build their brand.
All right. And where are you from originally?
I'm a native Washingtonian.
And what was going on with you 8 to 14 years old?
I was building and taking apart BMX bikes and captaining both my soccer and lacrosse team.
Why did those teams want you to be the captain? Did you beat somebody up or out-politic somebody, or what happened there?
No, I just have a natural knack for figuring out how to motivate people, and therefore it was a natural role for me.
Actually, you told me you have a unique way of motivating people. What's the unique way of motivating people?
No, I don't succeed unless you succeed. Therefore, when we all win together.
Uh-huh. When we all win together. Okay. I got another question then. This BMX bike stuff, what's that have to do with your success in business?
I have a knack for taking things apart, which kind of relates to technology. And when something is broken, the neighborhood kids came to see me. So I have a natural ability to take things apart and fix them.
So that ability of yours to take things apart and fix them, how's that help your business career?
It helps me understand what my clients do, especially in technology. You have to understand how things work and how they work together. And so therefore, it gives me a very unique perspective on helping them build their brand.
So when you're talking to a client and they're, well, I guess you're helping them with their communications. So when they're communicating with you about what they do, you can actually see it for yourself and then shape it in a way that's most easily understood?
Yes, that's an accurate way of describing it.
And then you go ahead and you're also pretty good at, you know, you're good at motivating the team where they know you're not going to toss them under the bus, where you all got to win together, huh?
That is correct.
What's the website address of this organization?
TeamSilverline.com.
Let me have that one more time.
TeamSilverline.com.
TeamSilverline.com. And your name again is?
Wumi Bamadero.
All right. And this has been your Business Spotlight. Stay tuned.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Mark Wallace, CEO and co-founder of Radius Networks. Mark, what is Radius Networks? What are you guys doing?
We create location technology to help businesses locate and transact with their customers.
Give me an idea. What are you talking about there? What do you mean?
Well, if you order a coffee, you order groceries, and you want to go pick it up, we'll help the businesses know when you get there.
Ah, so they can have it ready for you.
No cold coffee.
What a great idea. Whose idea was this?
We created a company, myself and two co-founders, about 6 years ago.
Uh-huh. So this is a pretty unique idea. How young were you when you were coming up with unique ideas and making money? How young were you?
I created my first business when I was 12.
What was the business?
It was a bread company.
A bread company. Where'd you get the idea from?
Well, I think I saw a market opportunity in the neighborhood.
What do you mean you think you saw a market opportunity?
Well, I was just looking for a different idea, and I was baking bread one day and decided I would start selling it around the neighborhood.
Interesting. So you were looking for a hole in the market, for a market that wasn't being served, and you came up with bread. All right. So we understand that you're a visionary, just like this business known as Radius Networks is a unique idea. Did anybody give you a hand with this business?
Yes, I have two co-founders.
How about back when you were running the bread company?
I roped a couple friends into helping me sell the bread.
So you have the traditional entrepreneurial nature, which is to get an idea and to pull people around the idea. It's what you do with the bread company when you were 12. It's what you're doing nowadays as CEO and co-founder of Radius Networks?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I understood, Tom.
How did you know the bread was good, Mark?
Well, the company didn't last that long, so I'm not sure the bread was that good.
So is it a good example of maybe failure? And then,
exactly.
What did you learn from the failure then?
Well, I've failed a bunch of times, so I rinse and repeat.
Talk to us a little bit about what did your father do when you were growing up? What was his vocation?
My dad was an architect.
What type of architect?
He was a commercial architect and commercial designer.
Okay. And how about mom?
My mom was a teacher.
Who are you more like?
I have inherited qualities from both of them.
Okay, but be more specific. Give me, what did you learn from dad?
Well, my dad has taught me an awful lot of creativity, and my mom taught me generosity and compassion and leadership.
Mm-hmm. Do any of those traits impact your leadership style in your company now?
Absolutely. I think both on the creativity side, being able to see opportunities and create companies, and imagine what companies can become has come from my father. And then my mom's generosity, compassion has helped me to manage large teams effectively.
Actually, earlier, Tom was asking you how young were you? You were sketching with your dad, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, my dad and I used to sit and draw.
But he gave you your own drawing pad, didn't he?
That's right.
Uh-huh. What do you think that did to you? The fact that you had your own drawing pad and you were drawing with dad?
Well, that was I look back in those days, and I clearly remember those as fond memories of just sitting there and dreaming up and imagining different things that I could
draw.
So
it gave you confidence that you could imagine. It was encouraging your creativity.
Yeah.
Like maybe the bread company, and oh, by the way, this new company, which is known as Radius Networks. Lisa, what are you thinking?
What did Mom do that taught you both leadership and compassion?
So my mom was a public school teacher and administrator, and she was also very much a volunteer and with after-school sports with special needs children. And I was tagging along with her along.
How young were you when you were tagging along with your mom? How young were you?
My entire childhood,
like
I was tagging
young?
Along.
How young?
As early as I can remember, I was tagging along with her.
Doing what?
Helping her. I was helping her with all the other kids.
Uh-huh. Didn't you tell me that your mother helped everybody? Wasn't that your word?
She has always helped other people. Yes.
Like how?
She's volunteered her time and abilities to many different types of people.
All right. So earlier we were speaking and you told me that, and I'm wondering, you know, you're her son, you're a little kid, you're going with your mom to do these things. How do you think that influenced you today?
Well, I think understanding how giving something can effectively help teams and groups power through stressful situations is very important.
I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean?
Well, when you're dealing with a situation where people have dug in their heels, sometimes understanding how to give something to get things to move forward is very important. And so her ability to give herself to move things forward, I think, was a powerful lesson.
Mark?
What sports did you play growing up?
I played soccer and basketball.
And what was your role in those?
I was the captain of the soccer team.
Why?
Because I was a fierce competitor and a leader of the team and my fellow players.
Do you treat your current company as sort of a sporting venture?
Absolutely. Sports has a lot to do with leading and managing teams.
Okay. Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about there? I'm trying to figure out the parallel between sports and business.
Well, I think sports being a competitive environment you know, translates very well to the business world just because you'd never want to lose.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, what are you thinking?
Well, it sounds like your mom really did and gave a lot both while working at school and even after hours. She went the extra mile. So how do you go the extra mile now?
Again, it's that competitive nature of always wanting to finish and win. And so sometimes that can be a grind and takes an awful lot of persistence.
But winning with compassion, how do you balance that?
Well, compassion is a tool that can help you get through stressful situations.
Wow. So you're seeing the benefit of compassion is keeping it's a glue that keeps the team together.
Exactly.
Uh-huh, I understand that. But Tom, Mark, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're growing up with compassion, do you have any current or future philanthropic interests?
Yeah, how do you give back? We understand you're a successful entrepreneur. What are you doing for the community?
Well, so when I exited my first business, we created a foundation, and I created that with my three boys. And together as a family, we work every year to give and donate money to different organizations.
How? What do you mean you work? What are you talking about?
Well, all three boys and my wife included, we sit down and decide on the different organizations and charities that we want to donate to.
Why do you bother doing that? Why don't you just go buy a bigger boat or a nicer car?
Well, I feel as my mom taught me and my dad taught me, generosity, I feel it's very important to continue to pass that down through generations.
Why?
Well, the world needs it.
Uh-huh. What's the best part of your day?
Going to spend time with my family at the end of the day.
Hanging out with you. Let me ask you a question. I understand that you co-founded the business at home. Who wears the pants in the family?
My wife wears the pants, of course.
All right, I just wanted to make sure. And what's the similarity between being a dad and being a CEO?
Well, the similarity is that you're working with different personalities, especially with three boys. I have very different personalities across them.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to listen and help them manage through their issues is very similar to helping your employees.
Uh-huh. What's the website address of this organization known as Radius Networks?
RadiusNetworks.com.
Uh-huh. And we've been speaking with Mark Wallace, CEO and co-founder of Radius Networks here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Yeah.
You like business content. I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com, promo code radio.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Mark Menick, who's the president and COO of an organization known as KLNB. What is KLNB?
KLNB is a privately held, local, full-service brokerage firm, commercial real estate brokerage firm.
All righty. And how large or how small is this firm?
We are 80 brokers, 120 people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where are you from originally?
I'm from the area. I grew up, born and raised right outside of Washington, D.C.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have one older sister. She's 3 years older.
One older sister. All right. So what would your older sister teach? What would your older sister do to you way back then?
She would do what any good older sister would do, I think. She beat me up and protected me at the same time.
Uh-huh. So what did you learn from your older sister that you use in business nowadays?
Stick-to-itiveness and have a chip on your shoulder, I think.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about, now you were brought in to take this business. This business is how many years old?
This business was founded in 1968. We're celebrating our 50th year this year.
So you were brought in to take it to the next level. How young were you when you were taking things to the next level? And let me ask you a more specific question. What kind of sports did you play as a kid?
I primarily played basketball.
What was your role on the team?
I was a forward. I was always, I'm 6'4". I was always tall, so they stuck me down low.
Uh-huh. So you were the forward. And what was the personality trait that you brought to the party?
I guess I would say I was reliable. I was never the best on the team. I was never the worst on the team, but I was always kind of where I was supposed to be.
So they knew they could depend on you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's the parallel between the role you had on that basketball team and the role you play in this real estate organization known as KLNB?
I think you nailed it with the word dependable. I think my dependability and my ability to sort of earn the trust of my peers. I was hired into the organization a couple of years ago by the partners of the firm that knew me from the firm that I came from. So I was an easy choice because I think they trusted me. They knew me.
Uh-huh, and they thought that the other people, that you could help build the team.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thomas?
Mark, what did Mom do?
Mom was a serial entrepreneur. She, as long as I've been alive, she's owned her own businesses. As a child, she owned anywhere between 6 to 12 daycare centers, small to medium-sized daycare centers.
And do you, how young were you when you first went to go work with her? Did she bring you along? Or
It's a daycare center, so it's built-in babysitting. So as early as I can remember, I was going with my mom to work, and my mom put me to work. I have vivid memories of being out on the playground putting together all the playground sets.
And so what did you learn from this? You were a young kid helping your mom at the nursery.
That
your friends weren't there.
My friends weren't there. I think I learned pride of ownership. I remember feeling a sense of pride of all the kids that were there. I was one of the kids that Mom owned the place. And so pride of ownership is something that sticks with me
today.
What
do you think? How do you think that's affecting you in your business career, this pride of ownership thing?
I think it's paramount. Again, we are a partner-owned firm with 40 different partners in the firm. So developing, you know, pride of ownership is our differentiator in the marketplace. It's what makes us different from all the other brokerage firms.
Wow. So what you felt with Mom, hanging out with Mom and her business, is like what you're bringing to the party nowadays. Tom, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So, yeah, so what was your child? You said you grew up in the D.C. area. What part?
I grew up, until I was in third grade, I grew up in Prince George's County in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and then I moved to Potomac, Maryland.
And you've got one sibling?
I've got, an older sister.
An older sister. And so what was your house like, your family dynamic? Were you at the end of a cul-de-sac with the lights off?
Yeah, we lived in a great neighborhood throughout my childhood where everybody was always outside. It's funny you say cul-de-sac, we lived at the bottom of a dead-end street with great neighbors, with five kids, and we were just always outside playing.
The doors open policy?
Doors open policy.
And so tell me about how that impacted you as you got older. You sort of seem like a gregarious.
I think you learn to deal with people, adapt to people.
Does anyone ever say that you're the jerk in the office, the guy that is to be avoided, or you're the guy that people come to you?
I think there are times when I'm the jerk in the office, absolutely. But no, I don't think that's how I'm pegged. I think I would more be pegged as a mediator compassionate.
Is your office open?
My office is always open.
Mark?
What do your employees expect of you, not from a corporate role, but as a person?
Be compassionate, help them develop teams in what can be a very cutthroat industry, help bring the individual type A's sort of together to march to the same to the beat of the same drum. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. Do they look to you to sort of set the tone for professionalism, personal development, those kind of things?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Lisa?
So Mom worked with kids. That's probably where the compassion comes from. Where was Dad? What did Dad do?
Dad was a computer analyst, but I would say the compassion mostly came from Dad. Dad was a soft soul and taught me that it's not always about making the buck. It's more about saving the buck, and it's about the people and generosity. He passed away 10 years ago, but was one of the most generous people that anyone ever knew.
That's great. He was in a technical profession, though. What are the technical aspects of your job now?
Well, I'm running a company, so you gotta maintain a budget. You've gotta stretch the dollar as far as it can go. You've gotta grow revenue, but more importantly, you've gotta watch expenses. And I think Mom taught me the revenue side. Dad taught me the watch expenses side.
Mm-hmm. If your sister was here in the room, who'd she say you were more like, Mom or Dad?
Absolutely, Mom. she's much more like Dad.
And she's much more like Dad. And what's the dominating trait that comes through in your leadership style? Is it the empathy part?
I think it's I guess empathy. I was going to say the ability to build and maintain trust, which probably ties into empathy a little bit.
What's the hardest part of your job going to work?
Herding the cats. It's 80 brokers, and I've also got 40 partners. So we've got a lot of I'm in the leadership role, but we've got a lot of quote unquote bosses.
And what's the best part?
The best part is running a top notch organization where the proof is in the pudding. Our retention rate is bar none. I mean, we just don't lose people. And we have a tremendous amount of pride in this company. Like I said, it's been around 50 years. So it's just fun to be a part of a winner.
I know about commercial real estate. There's a lot of turnover in that industry. You're telling me you don't have a lot of turnover?
We don't. We have very, very little turnover. Part of it is the culture that we have in the company.
What do you mean the culture? What are you talking about?
Well, back to what I said earlier, in a very cutthroat industry, we've developed a platform where you can be an owner of the company. I told you there were 80 brokers, 41 of them are partners. 41 people own a piece of this company. So it forces you to think like an owner in a business where you are not an owner, you're a middleman. Mm-hmm. But it forces you to spend hopefully at least half of your day thinking like an owner.
Mm-hmm. Next question, who's got it?
Any other role models outside of Mom and Dad?
A tremendous amount of role models, I guess, teachers and family, friends. The biggest role model in my life outside of course, my parents, I would say came later in life. Before being at KLMB, I worked for a company called the Peterson Companies, and Milt Peterson is a very well-known, well-respected commercial real estate developer in the region, in the Washington, D.C. region, and he's just a tremendous man to work for that has amassed a fortune.
Why was he a role model? What was it
about
him?
Because I was just about to say he amassed a fortune, but that's not what he's best known for. He's best known for his compassion and being a great person. Nobody, you know, for somebody to do those deals, be involved in those deals, but nobody really has a bad word to say about him. I have a tremendous amount of respect for that.
Sounds like you're similar.
I'm trying to be.
So when you were growing up with your group of friends, what was your role? Were you the instigator, the fixer, the peacemaker, the idea?
I was a
person?
Little bit of a troublemaker, so instigator might be part of it. I was a little bit of a jokester, probably a leader at the same time. Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me like you really respect the idea of, you know, making a ton of money, but also doing it with others where everybody wins together.
Absolutely.
It's not cutthroat, sue everybody, blood and guts.
Not at all. Not at all. That's not our approach. That's not my approach.
Mm-hmm. Is there a story or a saying or something that you brought from, you know, your parents? Like, I remember my mom used to always say, whatever.
That's a tough question.
Sounds to me like the piece you really picked up, you know, you picked up a lot of good stuff from mom and dad, but also that role model that you were talking about earlier, you know, who made a load of money, but also everybody spoke well about him.
Yeah.
That means a great deal.
Respect is very important to me.
What is?
Respect.
What is respect? What's that about?
Well, just being appreciated for what you do and people assuming the best of you and your people, because it's so easy to, you know, assume the worst in a sales-based business.
But isn't real estate a transaction business? There's no ongoing relationship.
It's a transaction business, but it's a business that everybody's in. There's real estate in every conversation. We're helping people open up retail shops or fill office space or industrial space, and that affects a lot of people's livelihood.
What's the website address for KLNB?
KLNB.com. KLNB.com.
We've been speaking with Mark Menick, President and CEO of KLNB, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name and organization is?
Susanna Griffiths, Net Strategies.
And what do you guys do for a living?
We're a full-service digital marketing agency.
A full-service digital marketing agency. And what's your role in the team?
I'm the VP of Public Relations and Marketing.
All righty. And where are you from originally?
I was born in England, raised in Vienna, Virginia.
Uh-huh. England, Vienna, Virginia. And you mentioned something happened about the age of 10 or something?
Parents divorced.
Your parents divorced when you were about 10. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the oldest of three.
So what happened to the family dynamic?
Well, I took over.
What do you mean you took over?
I was responsible, really, for raising them, making sure that they were taken care of.
Did somebody tell you had to do that?
No.
You just sort of assumed that role.
I did.
Uh-huh. What did that role look like? You over how much younger are your siblings?
My sister and I are Irish twins. My brother was 6 years younger than me.
Uh-huh. So you decided you were going to take care of them.
Yes.
What's that look like? What do you mean?
It looks like putting their coats on, getting them dressed, making sure they have breakfast, getting them out the door to school.
How old were you?
10.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you a question. This organization, Net Strategies, how large or how small is the team?
We're about 15 people. Small.
Uh-huh. And what's your role? How's the role that you played with your brother and sister? How's that affecting your role in this team of Net Strategies?
We're a small marketing team, and we're all very close in as much as we care about each other in the workplace, but we really care about each other personally.
Do you take care of everybody?
I try.
Uh-huh. What do you mean?
I just have always been the type of person who feels responsible for helping people grow, helping people succeed.
What's the benefit to your clients?
Well, they can see it. It's transparent.
Yeah, it's better quality work, and I bet there's less turnover. What's the website address of your organization?
Netstrategies.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Netstrategies.com.
And your name again is?
Susanna Griffith.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV. on your time.
Attention investors. Respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Shuaib Ali, president of World Services. Shuaib, what is World Services?
World Services is a technology company that primarily focuses in federal government contracting.
All righty. And where are you from originally?
Originally from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
How many brothers and sisters?
Two brothers, two sisters.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the fourth of five.
You're the fourth of five. What kind of sports did you play when you were a kid?
Football.
And what was your role on the team?
I was a wide receiver.
What's the personality trait of a wide receiver?
You have to follow the route. In some cases, stay disciplined and be aware.
Yeah, what's that have to do with your building this business?
I think that when you start a business, you have to set a plan, and you have to follow that plan, and you also have to be flexible enough to be aware and make changes as necessary.
Interesting. Les?
Yeah, what were Mom and Dad doing?
My mom was an educator. My dad was a musician.
And what impact did your mom being an educator have on you?
She stressed academics. It was a really important part of the family growing up.
So you were the smartest kid in the family?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Chelsea?
Being one of five children, how did you differentiate yourself from your siblings?
I don't know if I really did that, but I know that my mom created certain values that she wanted us to follow, and I think that kind of...
What kind of values?
Honesty, loyalty, you know...
Go ahead.
Please.
How are those showing up today in your life, in your business?
So those are some of the values we look for when we hire staff. We want someone who's loyal, passionate, honest, and wants to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Gal?
So you mentioned that you had... essentially a position to build a company to start it. What was the first thing that you did when you put the business card, president and CEO?
I'm not a big title guy. I wasn't a big fan of it, but unfortunately, certain organizations want you to have a title.
You mentioned unfortunately. Why?
Because I don't feel like it's necessary, right? I think what's important is that I'm there to do the job. I'm a part of an organization. We're a team.
So the first thing that you did when you hired the first employee was what?
Well, I was excited that I was able to hire my first employee. I made sure that they understood, you know, the organizational values and where we were going and how we were trying to grow.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't think you were a hot dog or anything.
Oh, absolutely not. I knew I had a lot of work to go.
Wanted to make sure, David.
What was the first job you started making money?
I was cutting grass.
How old were you?
It's probably about 10 years old.
So you're knocking on doors, drumming up business?
Yep, I went door to door, knocked on a door and just asked, can I cut?
Did it ever occur to you that most kids that are 10 years old don't want to do that or are afraid to do that, but yet you did it, like sort of second nature?
I did not think of that.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with building your business, the fact you were just prepared to knock on doors when you were 10 years old, talking to the neighbors about mowing their lawn?
Well, you have to be persistent. I've had several doors slammed in my face in business, and it didn't bother me. I kept going.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what are you picking up?
Well, we seem to have a sports theme, and you mentioned team, and you know, you don't want to have all the attention on you, and a lot of times in sports, you know, the name on the front is more important than the name on the back of the jersey. What do you feel sports has done for you, and how have you implemented what you learned from those traits into your business?
All right. So I think the team element, I saw how important that was at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one could do it by themselves.
Right.
You definitely needed a supporting cast, and I think the same thing is important right now in business. My team is probably the most important thing to me. I mean, our company wouldn't be growing if it wasn't for them.
So. Interesting. Rob?
So I want to get back to your relationship with your parents. Who do you think was the stronger influence?
I think my mother.
Why is that?
So she pretty much raised us for the most part by herself. She worked three jobs to support the family. She put herself through law school pretty much by herself. So she had some pretty strong values that she instilled in us.
Those values are related to, how would you characterize them?
Strength. Again, I think I mentioned earlier, loyalty, honesty, hard work.
And why mom and dad got divorced or separated when you were a kid?
You said why?
Yeah. Well, how young were you when mom and dad?
I was probably about 2 years old.
Uh-huh. And so mom took on the burden herself.
For the most part, she did.
Did you realize what was going on when you were a kid?
I didn't learn to appreciate until I got older.
Appreciate what?
Appreciate the amount of sacrifices that she made for the family.
What kind of sacrifices?
Again, working three jobs, putting herself through college just to set an example for us as kids that, hey, you know, we can do anything.
How's that showing up in you?
I personally don't feel like there's nothing I can't accomplish if I put my mind to it. Absolutely nothing.
Give me that. How'd you get that thing? There's nothing that I can't accomplish if I put my mind to it. Where'd that come from?
My mother, absolutely. Watching her persevere.
Did she ever tell you that?
Absolutely. Multiple times.
What did she tell you?
Just that, you know, don't set a ceiling for yourself. You know, no matter what you want to accomplish, you can absolutely do it.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next question?
Somebody
here?
Put a ceiling on her that she broke through?
Sure. As an African-American woman doing that era, she certainly did have a ceiling, but she refused to allow it to keep her back.
Where were you growing up?
I was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Uh-huh. Was it primarily a black community or white community? What was that like?
The area that I lived in was primarily black,
uh-huh.
But Kalamazoo as a whole was primarily white.
Uh-huh. And mom broke through ceilings.
She did.
Uh-huh.
How old were you when you broke through your first ceiling?
I think becoming an owner. You know, 2010 was the first ceiling that I broke through.
What are you talking about?
So, you know, prior to starting World Services, I've always worked for other people. So in 2010 was my opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to.
Alex, what else are you thinking?
When you were growing up, your mom said you can do whatever you set your mind to.
Absolutely.
What was the first time that that actually happened?
Again, World Services would be it. Starting World Services, I realized that there's no limitations for me as an individual.
Huh.
Well, that's actually a big victory. How about a small one
when
you were
in
your teens?
Smaller victory,
I think he began doing when he was knocking on the doors at 10 years old, selling lawn mowing services. Right. What's the website address of this organization known as World Services?
World-ServicesLLC.com.
We've been speaking with Shuaib Ali, president of World Services here on Executive Leaders Radio. Les, can you give us a rundown on who we have the opportunity of speaking with?
We had Alex Bartholomew, president and CEO, People Stretch Solutions. We had Russell Reeder, president and CEO, OVH Cloud. We had Marita Graywall, and who's the CEO and co-founder, and Julie Dekar, founder at Talex, and Shuaib Ali, president, World Services.
I would like to thank my co-host, including David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, Joe Basile, Spectrum Careers, Chelsea Rutherford, Capital Careers, Rob Manfredi, Bamboo Solutions, and Gal Borenstein Group, including Les Small and Vistage, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing a listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and do have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Nice.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.